Hi, babe. Yeah, mad day. So, do you fancy staying in tonight instead? Delivery fee is now from 99p on the Mackey's app, and we can get a free chicken Big Mac if we spend £15. So, you in? Of course you are.
Exclusively on the McDonald's app. £15 spend only on main day food and drink via delivery until the 19th of October. 18 plus. Service fee and small order fee may apply. Participating restaurants. Serving times and T's and C's apply.
So how does trauma get trapped into one side of the brain? Joining us back with his series is Dr. Frederick Schiffer, a Harvard psychiatrist, researcher, and founder of the Dual Brain Psychology Institute. He discovered that we actually have two minds, one healthy and mature one, and the other wounded and reactive. And when we understand this inner split, we begin to see where good and evil really take root and how we can choose which side to live from. And again, today we're going to talk about how trauma gets trapped into one side of the brain. Before we get started, I just want to say a big thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson for your sponsorship, and a big thank you to iHeartRadio. To our fans and our listeners, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. Fred, it's so good to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Yes, you were just on a vacation, but you were writing for most of it. What were you writing about?
I wrote a paper and I'm writing a book. So it's about what experience is and how experience impacts the brain. And so in physics, they feel that information is not a force, but I feel that information is a powerful force, and in experience is a form of information, I believe, and that it has a powerful force on the brain. And so that's sort of what the book is about. It's called the Force of Experience.
I agree with you, because I don't really learn unless I experience something. Like, I can read about something until I'm blue in the face, but then until I experience it or do it, that's when it clicks for me.
Right. And also, we were talking about looking out one half of one eye versus the other, and what that does is it creates an experience, and so on one side you actually, in both times we tried it, it has a negative experience when you looked out your the right half of your right eye, and you had a positive experience when you looked out the left half of your left eye. And that is compelling in teaching. In other words, if you're having bad experiences, it teaches you to be afraid, and it's compelling information. If you have good experiences, that also teaches you. So they're kind of different lessons from each side of the brain. The point is that if I said to you, sort of like on Saturday Night Live, I forget what how Dana Carvey used to say it, but I like you, and he was a therapist, and if you can experience that yourself, then it really means something, and it's not a joke. And unfortunately, a lot of times we are experiencing traumas, and that's damaging. So to be able to have positive experiences that we can control within ourselves is very powerful. So as you say, you really learn if you have an experience. If somebody's telling you something, it might be true, might not, but if you really experience it, then you believe it, and it has much more power.
Has so much more power. So today we're talking about how trauma gets trapped into one side of the brain. So in your research, like, how does trauma get trapped into one side of the brain?
Okay, well, let me start with information. And physicists don't consider information a force. They consider that it directs energy, and you know that information exists. But I feel that information is a force. And an example would be if you're Napoleon and you're in a battle, and one of your spies comes and gives you the battle plan of the enemy, that gives you a lot of force, and
right.
and win the war. And so information really can be quite powerful. And that's why we have the CIA and why atomic bomb secrets, you know, are so important. So I feel that information is important, and that information has to be understood to be meaningful. So if I give you information, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have any meaning, and it's useless. So for information to be powerful, it has to have meaning. So let's imagine a child who's just born.
Okay.
So he has no experiences, or he has a few experiences. You know, maybe he's
exiting the womb.
Yeah, he's exiting the womb, or maybe he's getting fed and he's getting changed. You know, so he may have some experiences, but what happens is that these experiences get laid down in the brain. And so if he has good experiences, when something happens, he can understand it through his previous experiences.
Right.
If someone's had very bad experiences, it's very hard for them to understand a good experience.
Yeah.
And that it's sort of like a ball and a mitt, baseball, that the information or the experience is like the ball, but it has to be received to be caught in order to have meaning. And so if if there's bad treatment to the child, it gets stored, that idea of bad treatment gets stored in the brain, and the person becomes ready to receive more bad information once.
It's almost like they're expecting it.
Yeah, that you have a glove that is like a receptor for bad information. So you're building a whole mind that is expecting bad information, and sees the world through trauma and through difficult information, and for a reason that I think has to do with the development of the brain hemispheres. One hemisphere seems to develop earlier, and the other seems to develop later. And so the one that develops later, I think, has less of these toxic experiences, and so is healthier. And so I think the brain hemisphere turns to be healthier and more mature, where the other is sort of developed out of childhood maltreatment, and that can extend to early years, and then preschool, and then school years, and it rolls on itself, and tends to get worse as things go, and then people then get into serious forms of a difficulty in which they're trying to escape their pain from the trauma, and so they might become alcoholic or addicted, or get into bad relationships, and what I found is that there remains a healthy side, and if we can use that healthier side to be an ally and a sort of a co-therapist, and to treat that troubled child within. And so that's what dual brain psychology is really about.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I recall, like, I went to see this one doctor a million times, but then there was this one time when they were doing a procedure on me, and they were trying to find the vein to do blood work, and they couldn't. And it so that one situation at the same doctor left me traumatized. And then the next time I came back, I was scared to even be there, even though I had, like, I remember there were so many good experiences, but that one time changed everything. Why does that happen?
Well, it might be that the pain that you experienced resonated with a past trauma, where
yeah,
you were
sense.
Hurt, and so it got
it's amplified. Almost like a betrayal of trust.
And that too got amplified.
Right. So it wasn't about the needle. It was about whatever activated that trauma activated in my body.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And had you been looking at your stronger side, it wouldn't have bothered you.
Right.
But it hit the little girl and then aroused her. And so the trauma came forward and then became a condition to the pain and all of the trauma came up.
Right. So what's really happening when neurologically, when the wounded side gets triggered by present day events?
Well, I think that that each brain hemisphere is really like a person,
right?
And so if we have two people, or like you and I here, we're two people, so something may happen that might encourage you. You might just, get an email that you just won an award for the podcaster of the year. And so you may feel really good, and it may stimulate you. And so you may take a more dominant lead in the conversation. And I might get an email saying, I'm going to be investigated for something, and so I'm like,
what did I do? Yeah.
So these two minds are like two different people, like you and I are, but we can be stimulated by things that happen. And then another thing is that so if you have a bad experience with the needle and with trusting people, so I may not have had that particular trauma. I may have had other traumas, So if someone said needle, that might really upset you, whereas I wouldn't be upset by it. Maybe I had been in a car accident. And so if you started talking about a car accident, it might really stimulate the little boy in me.
Right.
And so that these two individuals in us, in our head, can be stimulated that way by different things that happen in the environment. And if we're not aware that we have two minds, it's easy for one side to take over. And usually it's the more immature side. And then we wind up getting anxious, depressed, and maybe, you know, doing things that are behaviors that aren't good for us.
Right. And you wrote a book on this so people can understand it better. Do you want to tell us about your book?
Yeah, actually, I have a copy of it here. I've sent you a copy, and I hope you receive it soon. So it's called Goodbye Anxiety, Depression, and it goes on a bit. But essentially, it's how to use dual brain psychotherapy to help oneself. And has vignettes about narrative fictional depictions of actual therapy sessions and the people who are getting the therapy are real people who gave permission, and we've removed all of the identifying information.
Okay. Beautiful.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Okay, amazing. So how does your approach to this help people access the healthier hemisphere in the brain?
Okay.
I know we have to read the book, but can you give us a little insight?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think to be aware that we have two minds, and that one of them is more neurotic, is more troubled, and the other's healthier and can function better. And so just being aware of that can help us. And it turns out that the eyes are connected to the brain in an interesting way. So that it's just the neurologic wiring. And so if you look out sort of half of one eye, and this is confusing for people, but if you cover one eye and half the other eye, so I'm looking out the lateral half of either my left eye or my right eye. And most people will feel quite different, depending on which side they're looking out. And we've tried it in the past year, and you had strong responses. And so this is a way of accessing the healthy person or the troubled person. And you want to access both, because you want to talk to and do therapy with the troubled side. So right. It's not just, but for a lot of people, just stimulating the healthy side might be good, unless you're working with a therapist. And to figure out which side is healthy or not, you can, here, I got an envelope here. I think envelopes are particularly good. And we're making sunglasses that, and I don't have them here, as you can wear instead of holding the envelope up. If you look out half of one eye, I hear that now I'm actually stimulating my, looking at my right lateral visual field, and I'm stimulating my left brain. And for me, that's my positive side. So if I'm feeling anxious, I can do this just for a few, for 15 seconds or so, and I'll feel like I'll actually have an experience that, no, I can handle this. And so move it over a little bit more towards your right. Yeah, there you go. Okay. And how's that feel?
I'm having like a really positive experience.
Good, good. And so you can, and you should do this during the day several times and just get used to bringing out that mature woman. And it'll help increase your confidence and you'll function better. And if you look out the other side, well, you tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah, not as good. Like that tired feeling I was telling you about before we hit record. Just like a little bit tired.
Yeah.
Or just blah. Like just like I just want to do nothing. Like unmotivated.
Yeah. Okay, but there's a big difference. And if you want to go to work, you want to be on the healthy side.
Yeah. Absolutely. That makes me want, now I want to go for a walk in the forest or something.
Good. And if you do it until you can say to yourself, no, I can handle this, then you really got it. And then you can set that down, or you can put on the new glasses that we're coming out with.
Yeah, so the new glasses are going to basically cover like half of one eye and the other eye?
They look like normal sunglasses, and they're actually very stylish. But you can flip them over, so you can wear them on either side. And they have a thing inside that causes you really don't see it when you look out, but it stimulates your hemisphere just like the envelope. But it has the advantage that it looks better than the envelope, and and you can wear it longer. You can keep it on for an hour or two or three if you want.
So how long, I was just going to ask you that, how long should someone stimulate that side of their brain in order to have an experience that will actually start helping the brain?
As often as or as long as you like. And in other words, it's good for you. It's just that you get tired, holding an envelope up and having your vision blocked. I think do it at least until you get an experience of I can handle this now, and so when you have that, I think you can set it down, and that might be 15 seconds, and if you can hold it up longer or do it several times during the day. So I think. It's
because sometimes people don't even realize that they're not feeling their best because everyone's so on autopilot. So I think that's a great way to check in with yourself.
Exactly. And also it explains that we really do have two different experiences at the same time. And what happens is one of these experiences takes over. And so when you're feeling tired or depressed or anxious, It's your whole being that goes into that state. And what happens is that one hemisphere suppresses the other hemisphere when it's activated. And if you're feeling well, it suppresses the other side. And I think that's sort of why, if you're feeling well, there's a sense that you could never be depressed. And if you're depressed, there's a feeling that you can never be well, and so if you can find your electric bill and hold it up in front of your eyes, you can challenge that idea.
How did you ever discover that? Like, were you just sitting there with your electric bill going, I wonder?
I noticed early in my career I wasn't seeing people's ids and superegos and egos. I was seeing that when they came in, they were very regressed and troubled, and then they got better, and they were mature and asymptomatic and doing well. And then something would happen, and they regressed again, so I just saw a patient who had been doing very well for a few years, and so something happened at work. And some other circumstances, and they aroused the troubled side of her. And so it set off a whole bunch of problems for her that we have to now go back and deal with. Again, I think one of the first things is just to test it and see which side is your positive side, because it can be either the left side or the right side for a given person. And then it's just interesting to have this experience. And then I think for most people, just use it to stimulate the healthy side. And then if you want to get fancy, you can talk to the troubled side and try and understand it. And understand what it's really upset about, and what you're going to find is that it's really upset about the past traumas that it's endured,
right?
And if you can talk with it and help it understand that you're in a different place, and that you don't have to live in the trauma anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so many people feel trapped, you know, and they don't know how to get themselves out of it. That's what I'm hearing. People are just feeling stuck.
Right, right. Well, again, I think the envelope is good for that. And it's not magic. And it may not work every time, but it's more powerful than most of the medicines that are out there, and it works in seconds, and you'll know that it works. And I mean, with your experience, I mean, I think you can say whether it is helpful or not.
Yeah, it's absolutely helpful, and I always forget how helpful it is until I talk to you, and then I'm like, man, why am I not doing this more?
Yeah, exactly. And the reason you're not is that the other side doesn't want you to. That the other side has been in power for years. And it's sort of saying, oh, you want me to go out on disability? Well, the hell with you.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that. I want to stay in power. And so it doesn't want to give up its power. And that sometimes the troubled side will kick up when you do that. Because it feels threatened, it's going to be, gotten rid of. And what we have to do is explain to it that we're not trying to get rid of it, we're trying to help it.
I noticed, so I do breath work before bed, and lately I've been like, oh man, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like getting into bed and doing this intense breath work. But then when I start doing it, then I'm like, oh my gosh, this feels so good. That's what this feels like to me. It's like there's this resistance of this is going to help the body. But then this side of my brain is telling me that I want to be lazy and not do it. But then when I start doing it, this side of my brain's activated. And it's like, yes, this is helping us. You're doing great.
Exactly,
but
right.
It's always just getting started.
Yeah.
It's always the hardest part.
Try the envelope to get started. See if that
helps. Yeah. Do we want to do breath work? Absolutely. This side wants to do breath work.
Try the other side.
No, I want to sit here and do nothing.
Interesting, huh?
Holy, like it's so intense and that's like so quick. Yeah, this side you can't convince to do breath work right now.
Yeah, and one of the hard parts of explaining this is that it's unbelievable.
It sounds ridiculous.
I pulled up my electric bill and changed my worldview. You know, I would say, "What are you talking about?" But if you actually try it and experience it, then you'll have that experience. And experience is power.
I agree. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. Do you have any other comments on trauma, and what about any new work that you're up to?
Well, we have a study for the treatment of fentanyl addiction that we're completing in November, and we're excited to see the results of that. And we are seeing that a lot of fentanyl addicts are doing very well, and so we're hopeful that our results are going to be good, and we're going to the FDA with that. And what we're doing here is, instead of using an envelope, we're putting a powerful LED over one side of the forehead that we determine is the healthy side. So
what does that do?
It stimulates that hemisphere.
Okay.
And his personality. And when people get the treatment, they feel better. They feel more relaxed, more confident. One patient of mine, his leg would shake before the treatment. And as I treated him, his leg would stop shaking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a lot of people would find that physical symptoms would go away. Sometimes person would say, "My chest pain feels better," and I didn't know they were having chest pain. You know, they weren't cardiac patients; they were just, you know, under stress. And so it's a very a powerful intervention. It's not available yet unless we get FDA approval, and that'll depend on our getting good results when we finish
the study. Right. I have a question about pain. Do you think that the level of pain that we feel in our body is based on how traumatized we are? Because trauma, I mean, pain is a brain chemical reaction. So what I'm interested in asking is, say someone who has been through a lot of trauma stubs their toe, they're going to feel that. They're going to feel pain on a way higher level than someone who is healthier and has more of a healthier brain dominant side. Do you think that's true?
We can test it. So if you pinch yourself and then cover your eyes, let's see what happens.
Uh-oh. Okay, this is my good side though. I'm going to do the bad side first.
Yeah, okay. So move it over a little bit so it's half your eye. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if it's not half your eye, it won't work.
Okay, I'm pinching myself. It hurts.
Okay, and how would you rate that?
That's about an 8.
Okay.
I actually felt like an electrical current through my body. I'm going to do the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, it's like a 3.
And you think
two. It's like a 2. Smart? I'm pushing. Oh, I'm pinching harder because I don't believe it. Wow.
So that answers your question.
You answered my question.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can reduce pain with a piece of junk mail.
Holy smokes! This just blows my mind. It blows my mind every time, and then I forget about it, and then I see you again, and I'm like, why am I not doing this? We got to get the information out.
Yeah.
Information is power. There we go. We just came full circle. Gosh, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your knowledge. I'm just praying that new device gets FDA approved, because I believe, oh my gosh, I believe in this so much. It is just absolutely amazing. Like I said, I just can't believe how simple it is.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to believe too, you know, that it is known that each hemisphere is a complete brain. But I'm the only person who's proposing that in normal waking life, that they can feel differently. And you had asked me earlier how I discovered that. Well, I had this idea about, I was seeing two personalities in my patients, and I was wondering whether it might have something to do with the hemispheres. And I was thinking all the bad stuff must be in the right side because everybody thinks the right is bad. There was a German group that was, they had like $1 million machine that was doing all these complicated things. It was tracking eye movements and masking a computer screen. And I didn't know really what it was trying to do. They were purporting to show movies to one brain hemisphere or the other. And they were getting different emotional responses depending on which side they showed it to. And so I was obviously interested in that. And when I figured out what they were doing was they were showing the movie to the lateral visual field. And that has to do with the way the eyes are connected to the brain hemispheres. So I figured I could do that myself because I didn't have the money to build this machine by just going like this, putting my hands up and looking out half of one eye. So the first patient I tried it with happened to be this is in the 90s. He was a Vietnam vet who had severe PTSD, and he served 4 tours of duty and had a Purple Heart. And he was doing well. So he was feeling well, and we're talking. I said, why don't you put your hands up and look out actually the side to stimulate his left brain? And he got very upset, and he said, that plant behind you looks like the jungle. And I said, wow. No, try the other side very quickly. And he said, no, it's a nice looking plant. Wow. So I knew what I had. And that day, I had several patients who had these intense responses. And I see these kinds of intense responses like you have in about 55% of patients. And in about another 25%, 30%, they have a clinically significant response, but it might just be like a 2-point difference between the sides. But it's enough to get them exploring this. And then there'll be about 15% who don't respond.
Why do you think that is?
I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that I think a lot of times one side is so dominant that it doesn't let the other side come out. In other words, we're not sticking needles in the brain, and really taking charge. We're using junk mail. That it's amazing that we're getting as much of a response as we are.
Yay, my right side wants, my right side or my left side wants to come out to play. So that's a good thing. That's good. So, wow. Okay, cool. So people can get your book on Amazon, and you'll keep us informed on all of your studies and what else you've been doing in the near future. So it was amazing talking to you today. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. And to our audience, get Fred's book. It's on Amazon. We're going to link it in the show notes and try it for yourself. It works. Every time. I'm going to have an amazing breathwork session after the show. Until next time, take care, everyone. And don't let that dominant side take over. Take control back. Go get some junk mail and try out this technique. Bye, everyone.